before you invite us to. It is what a blessing it is to be able just to be in God's presence and to sing His praises. Recently, in fact, today, I was shaving and I didn't realize it, but I missed a spot. I set myself up for that. But I cut myself, and it was one of those cuts to where it started bleeding enough where I had to put the toilet paper on it. And y'all have done that before where you've cut yourself so much, and you walk out of the house, and you got like 10 pieces of toilet paper all stuck to it. But it reminded me, I do not like the sight of blood. So much so when you go to the doctor and they're doing the physical, and they send you down to the lab for you to give blood, and the lady comes in with a needle, a little test vial. I turn my head. I don't even look. Now, I've never passed out, but I don't want to risk it. But it's interesting that when they do those blood tests, they're able to tell all about your health. They can see if your cholesterol is high or low, if you've got enough vitamins in your body. They can tell if there's an infection that's going on, or even different types of diseases that might be going on. On the outside, you may look healthy, but on the inside, they can tell exactly what's going on with your health. Doctor could look at my blood test and say, you've got a low iron and a low IQ. The blood test doesn't lie. If someone was to come into our church and to look around on the outside, how would they tell if our church is healthy? We could see how many people are in the pews for any particular Sunday. You could sit through the worship service and just be amazed at the music and the different things that are going on. You can notice that they may not be down here, but they're all up in the balcony, all of them paying attention, very well-behaved youth that we've got all part of our church family. You'll notice they even got a preacher that missed the spot shaving this morning. I don't know if he's going for the hipster look or maybe the grizzly mountain man look, whatever. But that gives us a picture of the church, but not an accurate way to gauge our church health. In other words, what blood test is there to tell us how our church is going, to tell us about our church health? Are we a healthy church? According to Albert Wiseman, he wrote in his book, How to Grow an Engaged Church, he says that a healthy church is a church that has members that are both spiritually committed, but are also engaged in the life of their congregation and their church. And so today, in this past several weeks, we've been talking about what it means to be an engaged church. We looked at the definition of engaged, where in different contexts it can be communicate whether you're committed, you're busy, you're betrothed, you're engaged. And we talked about how being engaged goes beyond just a normal commitment. It's that, yes, I do, until death do we part type of commitment. It's a commitment on a deeper level. Engagement is not involvement. You don't tell how engaged we are just by looking at our numbers, but it's more of that genuine emotional connection we have to our church. Isn't it true, folks, that we are part of a great church? How many of us go around and tell people in our community that, yes, I love Zion Baptist Church. I have such a wonderful church family. That is a deep emotional connection to our church. And then last week we talked about several items that would gauge a checklist, if you will, if we are spiritually committed. Items that talk about our behavior towards our spiritual commitment, and then also in our belief and attitudes towards it. And so today, our test that we're going to look at about whether or not we are engaged church is we're going to ask ourselves four questions. And in each of those questions, our goal is to be a good soil church so that we are growing spiritually and that we will bear fruit. So our first question we're going to look at today is, what do I get? What do I get from church? People are more likely to be committed to an organization or to a church if we get something from that. How would you respond to this? My spiritual needs are being met here at Zion Baptist? Is this what we get from the church? On Wednesday night, we've been learning about the book of Revelation. And yes, it's a book about the end times and the prophecies with all these types of symbolism and different things that are going on. But it's also a book of worship. So many texts and chapters are dedicated to just these visions of worship experiences. And numerous hymns that we sing in our church are taken directly from the book of Revelation. And we learned this past Wednesday when the seventh seal was opened, there was just a moment of silence, actually 30 minutes of silence. And then we talked about another time where in the Bible, the prophet Elijah encountered God in that stillness, in the silence with a sense of holiness. And so today in this worship experience, or this past week in your private worship times, have you encountered God? So many times for me, whether sitting in the pew or up here on the platform, it's in those quiet moments, in those prayers, in those meditations. It's in the music. It's in, even though Carol didn't invite me to sing, singing How Great Our God Is, or listening to the offertory song that Samuel played for us. In those moments that we are encountering God. In addition to these worshipful experiences of things that we get from our church, it's those times of discipleship, those Bible study moments, whether it's Sunday school or Wednesday night with our youth, our children, or adult, it are those opportunities that we are being fed through our church family. The next question we're going to look at in helping us to gauge our church health and our level of church engagement is, what do I give? This isn't what you put in the plate each Sunday. And it is important to give because we support the ministries of the church. We give to missions, and you're going to hear a bearded preacher talk about it maybe several Sundays in spring, and if we're lucky enough, maybe in the fall again, about how important it is to give financially to be good stewards. But it's more about, how would I answer this question? If Jesus came back today and he shared those same words that he shared from Matthew 28 to his disciples, telling us to go, to baptize, to teach, to preach, to heal, to help those that are in need, to share compassion with them, to feed those that are hungry and clothe those who are in need of clothing and shelter, how would we answer that? How do I give? We look at our gifts and our talents. We look at our passions. We look at our interests. And then from there, we want to get plugged in. How many of y'all like to sing? I'm going to go ahead and raise your hand here. All right, there are some other folks to join your choir, Carol, that want to sing or play an instrument. So we're going to get Samuel every Sunday. You're going to come and play for us. We enjoy that. But you may say, well, I'm more behind the scenes. And so you might find a gift and way to get plugged in is working with children. And so we've got Sunday school teachers. We've got opportunities to volunteer with our children and youth and to be involved in different ministries. You may say, I'm not really good at that, but I can cook. Well, that is great because I love to eat. And just happens to be that we need three cooks to take over our Wednesday night meals. This come up in March, and so I should have asked y'all to raise your hand if you'd like to cook. We could have got some volunteers there. But, if you can make for two or three, why not for 70? It's just as easy. But there are folks that would be willing to come and to help you. It wouldn't be just you by yourself. Maybe it's a Sunday school class, but it's something that it is an important ministry because we have a lot of families and folks that are able just to come in. They don't have to worry about feeding their family that night. They enjoy a fellowship meal, and then they're able to stay and take part in all the ministries and the music programs and Bible studies for the children and youth and adult. There are so many ways that you can use your gifts and talents. We've got mission projects that are upcoming. We've got our Community Missions Day at the end of March. We feed a meal every Sunday evening or once a month at the Rescue Mission. We've got folks that are tutoring in local school systems. So there's many, many ways that we can give back and use our gifts and talents. So just as a review, as we looked at what do I get, and then what do I give, and then now we have the question to gauge our church health is, do I belong? 202 years ago, folks gathered just down the hill a little bit under a brush arbor. They probably walked, they might have rode their horses, they may have came in a wagon, but they all gathered to be Zion Baptist Church, to make a difference in this community. And if you use words to probably describe that church some 200 years ago, you'd probably say rural, country, family, church. And fortunately, or we are no longer that type of church that we were 200 years ago. We're no longer the same church we were 20 years ago. Yes, we are a family, all brothers and sisters, but we have families from all over the county, not just here in the community, that's coming and being a part of this church family. And so it's not your name or your address that answers the question for you, do you belong to this church? Let's take a look at Mark chapter 2 and look at the scripture passage here and help us to answer this question, do I belong? A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. So many gathered there, and there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. Some men came bringing to him a paralytic, carried by four of them. Since they could not get to him, to Jesus, because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above. They made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lowered the mat that the paralyzed man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat, and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." He got up, he took his mat, and he walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." So we have here these four friends that are bringing their friend who's paralyzed to Jesus. And so we ask ourselves this question, do I have four friends that would be willing to carry me to Jesus? Or at the same time, am I the type of church member that if we had one of our own that had a need, would we help them with that need? Would we be the ones carrying them to see Jesus? Now this man, because he was paralyzed, the understanding in that day was he must have sinned. Otherwise, he wouldn't be in that physical condition. He did something wrong, or his family did something wrong. And so that's why Jesus told him, "Your sins are forgiven." Where everybody in the religious crowd said that you're no longer a part of us. You're not welcome in our group because you're a sinner. But by Jesus saying your sins are forgiven, he's telling that man, you belong to my family. You belong to my church. And then he healed him. He had him get up and walk. And everybody there was amazed. When we ask ourselves this question, do I belong? We know without a shadow of a doubt that there are folks here that if we're in need, they're willing to help. That's what it means to be a part of a church family. And we delve a little deeper in understanding this question. We feel like we belong if our ideas matter, if we're able to share our opinions and folks listen to them. And at the same time, if we have an opportunity to use our gifts and talents. And we've already shared how wonderful, and you've experienced today, our music ministry is. And I imagine if I asked Carol, I'd love to join the choir, she'd say, come right ahead. And I'd say, Carol, I'd like to sing a solo. And she'd probably say, yeah, go right ahead. Knowing good and well, as gracious as she is, if I got up here to sing a solo, half of y'all would leave. That's how bad it would be. And there might be a few who smile and like they're enjoying it, but you probably can't really hear how bad I'm singing out there. But having that opportunity to be able to use gifts and talents to make a joyful noise is more important than the actual noise that I would be making. Being able to use our gifts and talents knows that we belong. And then the idea, too, that we have genuine friendships within this church congregation, apart from our immediate family, is another way of understanding if we belong. There's so much ministry that is so important that goes on outside of these four walls. When you've got a friend that is in need, it's through the calls and the cards and the visits and the food, or just going out to eat lunch with a friend that just needs somebody to spend time with, or just taking time to call someone on the phone and just to talk and to listen. Many of the most important ministries that we have are surrounded by the relationships that we're able to build and the friendships that we're able to establish. When my family and I, when we lived in Alabama, we bounced around between four different churches, of different churches that we would work with and minister to, but we missed that one local church, that one local family, where we're able just to come together and be brothers and sisters in Christ, where we just are friends gathered together trying to do life the best that we can. We struggle, we lean on each other, we help each other. That's what it means to belong. So gauging our spiritual health about being an engaged church, we ask ourselves these questions: what do I get? What do I give? Do I belong? And then our final question, one to consider and to think about, not just today, but this week, we'll discuss it more: how do we grow? Remember, I talked about our goal is to be good soil churches where we are committed spiritually so that we will work together to eventually bear fruit. Next week, we'll talk about tilling the soil, what we need to do to make sure we're good churches, to make sure we're in positions to continue to grow, to look for that vision that God has for us. And a lot of that means we turn our attention from what do I get, what do I give, am I belonging, to look into others to make sure that they are being spiritually fed, to make sure that they have opportunities to minister, and to make sure that everybody here in this church family feels like they're a part of the family, feels like they're not just welcome, but they're also wanted, that they all belong. And as Jesus reminds us, he tells all of us, your sins are forgiven. You all belong to my family. Let's take that message to heart and in turn make sure everybody here and in our community knows those words. Will you pray with me? God, I do thank you to be a part of such a wonderful church family, that on so many occasions when I have been in need, this church family has ministered to me. And then the opportunity when there have been needs, I have seen this church family minister to others, Lord. I thank you that you are a part of this church. I thank you for all the blessings that you've bestowed upon us. And I just pray, God, that you will continue to lead and guide us, that you will give us your vision, your guidance, your strength to lead us in the days ahead. We thank you for all the many ways you've blessed us. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. We continue.